Recently, so I want to remember the family in prayer, and also just for Brother Matthew. And just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if there's any other prayer request, we'll bring it before the Lord. Just while we're all bowed, Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you again this evening, Lord, for another opportunity to come and worship and to praise and to give you thanks for. Indeed, Lord, you're worthy of all our adoration. And Lord, we want to say for truth, Lord, that we are been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and realize that there's nothing more important than to be washed in your precious blood, and Lord, to receive the imputed garments of your righteousness upon our own lives. For Lord, even as we heard this morning, Lord, it wasn't according to our works that we have obtained righteousness, but it was only because of your work we obtained that righteousness, Lord. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are declared righteous because of the holy life that you lived and because of that you always obeyed your Father's will. And Lord, because you were the Lamb of God, that spotless, sinless Lamb of God ordained to take away the sins of the world. And I thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, on a personal note from me, I say thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for bearing my sin upon your own body on the tree. Lord, for each one that's been washed in your blood, Lord, we want to say thank you, Lord, for washing and cleansing us. We realize, Lord, that we had no ability of ourselves to make ourselves clean. But we thank you, Lord God, that an outside agent was applied, which was the blood of Jesus. There to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the wonderful benefits that belong to the Christian. We thank you, Lord, your word says that we have the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we can call you our Father. And we know, Lord, that we can call you at any time of the day or night. And Lord, we have a special relationship with you, or even not what the world doesn't have. And we know, Lord, you hear us when we call. Your word says that the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ear is open to their cry. And Lord, even as we come before you this evening, Lord, we call upon your name now to comfort the bereavement of this family, Lord, of this woman, Vanessa, Lord. Don't really know her too well, but Lord, you know the family, Lord, you know the circumstances, and we pray, Lord God, that, Lord, you'll comfort the family at this time in Jesus Christ's name. And Lord, if there's family members that don't know thee as their own personal Saviour, we pray, Lord, you'll use this as an opportunity, Lord, to draw them onto your own precious self. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Pray for Brother Matthew this evening also. Lord, that you'll touch him, Lord, and take away the sickness from him. And Lord, meet us every need at this time. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Think of Karen McDonald also, Lord. And family, Lord, you'll just prepare their paths and set straight paths before their feet. And give them guidance, Lord, and give them wisdom, Lord, and help them to know, Lord, what decisions to make and where to go and what to do. And provide for them and look after them in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I ask you also for Ian Redmond, Lord. You'll continue to touch him, Lord, and touch his body and raise him up, Lord Jesus Christ, to health and strength in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, if there's anyone else that's ill or sick or afflicted at this time, Lord, we know that you are the great physician. And Lord, there is nothing too difficult for you. And I pray, Lord God, you'll help us never to put restrictions on you. But Lord, believe you, Lord, for you are a supernatural God. And Lord, that you can do all things. Lord, there's nothing too difficult for you. Lord, we just pray, Lord, this evening, Lord, that you'll close us in yourself for a time, Lord, and bless the pastors who comes and shares from your word. Pray, Lord God, you'll anoint them, Lord, and anoint the words that comes forth from his mouth, and anoint our ears to hear it. And may, Lord Jesus Christ, to take root downward and bear fruit upward. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, in this service, we pray that Jesus Christ will receive glory honor and praise. And we pray all these things in your lovely holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 611 will sing in the redemption hymn book. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Just saying there, there's another hymn just below 612. I don't know, but it probably goes to the same tune. But we'll try it again some other time.
I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered, on the curse to set me free.
Oh,
Spirit's open liberty at Calvary.
Let's sing a chorus again.
Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was fully blind to me. There my burdens open liberty at Calvary.
One more time.
Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was fully blind to me. There my burdens open liberty at Calvary.
Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, that was good singing for not many of us. The Lord bless you this evening. We give everyone a warm welcome in the name of the Lord, and I really enjoyed the message our brother John brought this morning. I think it was a real good Father's Day message this morning about our Heavenly Father. And I seen a few things up today, exactly what John had mentioned this morning, and I better watch what I say, but there was a few people had Heavenly Fathers up. But we have only one Heavenly Father. It's the same as well. You see a lot of people today around message groups, and they put up Joseph Branham as their father. I want to tell you that that's false. Joseph Branham's certainly not my father, and he's not the father of anyone in this room. And William Branham's not either. We have only one father. He's a Heavenly Father. Now, we have earthly fathers, which we love and appreciate, but we have one Heavenly Father. And Jesus forbid us to call any other man Father, only the Heavenly Father. Isn't that right?
Yes,
we have the one Heavenly Father. Praise God. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 11, verse 7. And I suppose this is really for the men tonight, but you sisters can amen as well. Father's Day, and John has already given us a message this morning, so we're continuing the night. Praise God. But I won't keep you as long tonight because it's a good evening. It's a real nice evening, and I appreciate those who's made an effort to come. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Let's bow our heads again this evening and praise God. And if you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord while every head's bowed, every eye closed. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that we can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we know that and recognize that you're our Heavenly Father tonight. We thank you for the greatest gift of all, was the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we believe in you. We pray for the moving of the Holy Spirit in this service and to all that would hear your word. We ask for your help and your anointing. And I do take the Holy Ghost right now in the name of Jesus Christ by faith. And I pray for every hand that's raised, you'll meet every single need, whatever it may be, for I'm asking it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, just have your way in our midst. Bless those that need your blessing and comfort at this time, and heal those that need your healing. Restore the backslid and speak to your own people, and help us to serve you with all of our hearts, as we know the day is nearing, and the night's coming, and the day's almost finished. Let us work while it is day, for we know you're coming an hour we think not. Father, forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us. Cleanse us with your precious blood. Sanctify this room. And may every spirit be subject to the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. I want us to notice from Scripture that there is a man here In Genesis, it saved his house. Also, I want us to notice that Noah was moved by fear. Now, there's two types of fear. There is a fear that we shouldn't have, that can bring a snare, but there is godly fear that we want to have. And the world talks about no fear, but the fear the world talks about is a different fear than what we are thinking about here this evening. This is a godly fear of fearing God and the Word of God. And Noah had this godly fear. Psalms 111 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding of they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever." This here is a godly fear, and this godly fear will help us in our home and in every situation. This godly fear is a fear. When we have problems, we have a fear of the Lord. You ever wanting to do something, but you really know you shouldn't be doing it? And maybe nobody's like that, it's just me. But I've been wanting to do some things, but God convicted me not to do them. But I wanted to do them. But out of the fear of the Lord, I never done them. And that was the Lord. Lord, give us that fear. That's a godly fear. What keeps us. And that's a good fear. Amen. May the Lord help every man in his home to bring our families as individuals into this ark of salvation. The man of the home has an important role in the home. As the head of the home, like Noah was the head of the home, and Noah had an important role in the home, and he saw his house saved. And I tell you, you know, we pray for great things and great moves of God, and that's all good. We believe in that. We're going to continue to pray for that. But I believe every one of us wants to see our homes saved. Now, I don't mean a building. I mean our children, our families all saved. And in the ark, and I'll tell you, you don't know, you do not know. I know maybe some people understand it, but some people do not understand it, especially as a minister, as a preacher. When you're preaching and your children's not serving God and they won't serve God, and maybe they did serve God and they no longer serve God, I'll tell you it's hard. But you're preaching to other people and they maybe don't serve God, and the devil attacks you, Christians attack you. But all we can do is represent, live before the Lord a life worthy of the gospel, and claim them, and keep believing for them. Also, here's Lot. Now, I know that people, a lot of people's bad things to say about Lot, but I have been saying nothing bad about Lot. Lot received a message by the two angels sent by God, Genesis 19, verse 13 to 14. For if we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord have sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. So we see Noah was able to save his house in the ark. Noah was fit to do that. His whole house was saved. But here Lot tried to get his house saved, but he failed. Now, he didn't fail because he was a failure, because I want you to know the Bible calls him righteous Lot. Amen. Lot was vexed every day. Amen. Now, all you have to do, if you're a real Christian, go on to any building site, I don't care where it is or what town it's in, and you won't be on it long till you're vexed. And if you're not vexed, you're not saved. That's my honest opinion. Because you'll hear stuff that you don't want to hear, and you'll see stuff you don't want to see, and that's what you're fixed with. You see, Jesus says we're in this world, but we're not part of it, but we're in it. And other jobs as well, other places, and they say that some women in places is worse than men. And I don't mean Christian women, I mean unbelieving women are worse than men with their conversation and so forth. But no was fit to save his house, but Lot wasn't. But it didn't stop Lot. It didn't stop Lot trying. Lot tried. Lot witnessed to the sons-in-laws that married his daughters, but he seemed unto them. They just mocked them and they laughed at them. They had no time for it. And because you're saved and because I'm saved, that's why the believer should never marry the unbeliever. Because you could say, well, they'll get saved along the way. They'll become to believe. But you don't know if they will or not. That's a chance you're taking. And the Bible says, what fellowship of the light with darkness. And here Lot was wanting to see his family saved, but they didn't get saved, all of them. And even his own wife, we know his own wife, and the Bible tells us, remember Lot's wife. And Lot's wife turned back, she looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And then you know the story, what happened with Lot. I'll tell you, there's some things in this Bible in there. Later on, Lot's two daughters thought there was nobody left, only them, the father and the two daughters. And they got Lot drunk and they slept with their own father. And that's where the Moabites came from. And that was in the Bible. That's the things that happened. But that still does not change the fact Lot was righteous. Lot was deceived to do that. He was tricked to do it. Isn't that right? Now we could say a lot of things negative about Lot, but he was a godly man. And God won't accept, you know, a lot of people say, well, I know a Christian and he does this, and I know a Christian, she does that. And we have family members, I'm sure every one of us is a family member somewhere, where they put on a religious hat, and when you start to talk to them about the things of God, oh, but such the one professes to be saved, and they do this and they do that, and they do something else, that's brilliant. But God won't accept that there. That will never appease God on the day of judgment. That will never stand for them to let them off, as it were. God will judge them just the same. No matter if that Christian done things he probably shouldn't have done, or she or he, they might have done. But that will still not make the difference on the day of judgment if they're not born again and saved. 2 Peter 2 verse 7 and 9 says, and delivered just Lot. Vexed with the filthy conversation of that wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day. With their unlawful deeds, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to punishment. Isn't it amazing how God moves in some families? God can move in a family and just move amongst them, and many of them get saved, and then that just stops. I don't mean that they don't continue on, I'm not meaning that. But that can happen, and sometimes mere you could think, but here, we done something great to make that happen, but that was God that done it. It was God that done it. It was nothing to do with mere you that made it happen, because he said it was. Let's get the blueprint and do it again. Now I know God answers prayer, I believe that, but God moves in families. David was chosen of God. Now I'm picking the fathers today, men, because it's Father's Day. And I want to challenge every one of us fathers before I finish here this evening. David was chosen of God, Acts 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. So David was a man after God's own heart to fulfill God's will. What about David's family? His children were guilty of every kind of sin that you can imagine and you can think of. I won't even name them tonight, but if you're a Bible student, you will know that David's children did terrible things. Yet David was a man after God's own heart. Even murder, adultery, all of it was done. David himself had a man killed. David himself committed adultery. But why was David a man after God's own heart? Because he repented. He repented before God. And you know that when nobody enter heaven that hasn't repented, there must be a repentance from sin. They died shameful deaths. They broke the heart of David. Many of his children did. May the Lord help every father today to live a godly life before our children. It is so important that we live a life before our children that they will watch us. They see what we do. They see how we perform. They see how we talk and the act and the copying. And sometimes you might say things you shouldn't say, then they'll say it. And they're saying it because they heard you say it. And you know, there's no point sitting at the fireside smoking and then you're preaching to your children, don't smoke. That's hypocrisy. They're going to smoke, probably, if they see you doing it. A lot of things you're going to do. And many times, you know, one of my children said to me, "Oh, but Dad, you weren't always a wee saint." Sure you weren't. I heard stories about you. And what do you say? I heard you done this and that, and I won't come over them. But maybe they were all true. But Tommy McKinstry had to repent and no longer do them things. What he done, but they think because I done them, it's all right, they can do them. And you know, our house was a mixed thing in the way because Samuel grew up a bit different from us boys that was born before him. Because we weren't born when my dad was like he was when Samuel was born. Now you might not understand that, but my dad was turned to the Lord most of Samuel's life that he knew him, and God spoke to him. Now my dad was here to tell you this, and God said to me, "You better set this boy a better example than you set the rest of them." That's more or less what God told him. You might say, "Well, he set us a good example as well." Well, in some things, but not in other things. And you know, one of the worst things, I'm going to tell you as young fellas tonight, one of the worst things is a vermin. You'll always have a vermin around the family. That's what I call them, a vermin. Now, I'm going to tell you this tonight, and it's the truth. You'll have somebody somewhere, and he's a vermin. And he'll be in there, he'll be friends with somebody, but he's sent in there of the devil. He's sent in to learn you how to smoke. And learn you how to do the badness. And there was a man when I was young, and he learned us all the badness he could learn us. And laughed at it. And there's boys you know, and they'll get you to do something, and they'll learn you the badness, and then they want you to go home to your parents. And then when they know you've done it, they will sit back and laugh at it. And there's nothing the devil wants more with young Christians than some vermin to poison them. And for them to make a mistake, and that vermin will be laughing. That's why we need the help of God. And parents that live a life worthy of the gospel to counteract every work of the devil and the enemy. Isn't that the truth? I tell you it's the truth. Look, let me tell you, I was saved when I was a young fella. I knew I was saved. I never got saved in High Bank Jail in 89. I was saved when I was about 15 years of age. I was saved. I knew I was saved. But I was going with some fellas and they told me, "Here boy, get yourself a bottle of cider. There's no alcohol in cider." But there is alcohol in cider. And I know a lot of Christians say there's nothing wrong with drinking. Well, I totally disagree myself because of my testimony. And I tell you, I get drunk on the cider, and as soon as I get drunk, the devil condemned me. I give him a stick, but I handed it to him. I cut it for him, and I handed it to him, and I let him beat me with it. Now, look, God could have forgiven me from the drinking. You say there's nothing wrong with drinking. The Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor strong drink, spew and follow him. And it talks about the redness of the nose of those that tarry long with the wine. I was condemned. The enemy condemned me because I was drunk, and I was legless, drunk, totally drunk. Once I got out of the vehicle, we were traveling and I couldn't stand. Fell over hedges and ditches like an Egypt. And drink will make a fool out of you. Drink is a mocker. It's a mocker. There's old preachers years ago used to preach a sermon called The Mockery of Alcohol. That's a mocker. It'll make you say the stupidest, dopiest things that you shouldn't say, but it'll come out of you once you're drunk. And they say a drunken man tells you the truth. That's partly true, but that's partly not true because the devil will inspire him. And he'll say a lot of things he should never say. But I tell you, I was drunk and I was condemned and I went from bad to worse. And my life spiraled the wrong road after that. That was the start of it. And I tell you, you could go down a road. John's laughing. But it's the truth. It's the truth. We had a tent. Let me tell you. We had a tent. It was Port Rouge. The motorbikes. Joy and luck would have been the man then. We had a tent in the boot. And I tell the boys, when I tell these lads, I'll put that tent up in 5 minutes. But you see, when we got to Port Rouge, I couldn't see the tent. Never mind. Put the tent up. I fell over the tent. Riled over the top of the tent. But the tent, I never put that tent up. Slept on a fish supper that night for a pillow. I woke the next morning feeling sorry for myself. I'd never seen a motorbike and got the first train home. That was my experience to Port Rush. And I never hardly went back after that to see any bikes or anything. That was my experience. And I went from bad to worse down a wrong, long road because somebody says, oh, there's no problem with it. No problem with it. But there's a problem with it. There was no problem when David looked on his neighbor. David was a man of God. There was no problem when David looked on his neighbor and all the men were out to war and David stayed at home in his house. And how many Christians today are sitting at home on the internet? They never come to church to take communion. They never come to church to pay a tithe. They're internet so-called Christians. There's no effort made in them to come and serve God and to gather often as you see the day approaching. And they're busybodies going from house. The Bible warns us. From house to house, chickly chattling. Did you hear what she done or he done and all that stuff? We're warned against that sort of stuff. But David stayed at home when he should have been out at war. He was a man of war. And he looked on the neighbor and one of his best men's wives were at home. She must have been a beautiful woman. And he looked at her, she bathed. And he fell in sin. Yes, God forgive him, but he went through a hard time before it came. And an innocent and brave man lost his life. And a child who was born lost its life. All because of David's sin. Many of his children died shameful deaths. They broke David's heart. David repented. He repented. He was a man after God's own heart because he repented. May the Lord help every father today to live a godly life before our children. May help us many times. All of us are guilty. I'm guilty. Sometimes we say things, and after we say it, we know straight away shouldn't have said it. May the Lord help us. May we be an example. They watch us, they talk about us in front of other people. If we disrespect the things of God, and if we red up other fellow Christians, they hear all that. That has an effect. You might think it doesn't have an effect, but it has an effect. What type of place is that if that's the way they think about it? It all has an effect. May we be not a disappointment to our children. And I'll tell you, if we're going to win them to the Lord, we need to serve God with all of our hearts. And we need to set the example that Noah set.
Yes, amen.
Noah never wavered. Noah maybe didn't get the results he wanted to get, but he was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We could say tonight to some people missing tonight, is there any point going tonight to church? Not everybody won't be there tonight. Is there any point going? But I'll tell you, if you knew Jesus was going to come for you tonight, you'd make the special effort, wouldn't you? And we need to determine that we'll serve God. If others won't serve God, they'll answer for that. But we need to serve God with all of our hearts. There's turning up, isn't there? You know, there's people that you can rely on a job. I take a van for a job, and I left some of the men in the morning, and I go to the job, and I can tell you every one of them how they operate. There's one fella, he's sometimes late, but he'll always be there. Then there's another fella, and you don't know if he's going to be there or not. He could let you down at any time, at any moment. You could even arrive for him and he'll not be there. And then, oh, I forgot to tell you, I'm not going today. And then there's those that never miss. Now, I know that's just a job, but it's important that if you want food on the table, you need to work for it. Isn't that right? And I tell you, things of God are the same. Some Christian, the least wee bit of trouble upsets them. It takes the legs from under them. And I was offended, and boy, I'll tell you, I'll not come back. But look how Jesus was offended for every one of us. Amen. The spat in his face, they plucked his beard, they done all sorts of stuff to them. But he said, Father, forgive them. We need the spirit of stickability in this hour. But we keep on going on. Ephesians 4 and 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. May the Lord help us have the right type of communication. Now I'm going to tell you one thing. You see that boy, I tell you, the vermin. You see them type of people, you'll not have any problem getting rid of them when you really start serving the Lord. I want to tell you, when I got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and in the front room in my mother's house in Maypole Park, God baptized me with the Holy Ghost one night. I can remember it well, and neighbors on both sides can remember it as well. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I had certain people, hanger-ons. That's what I'll call them this evening. They come for me, but they didn't come for long. Because I kept inviting them to church and telling them they needed to get saved. The police in Dromore used to harass me. They deliberately harassed me for years. They would stop me if they seen me. They would search me over the bonnet of vehicles to make out to other people here. Yeah, this is a chancer here, this boy. Even if I was doing nothing wrong, they'd done it for years. But once I got saved and served the Lord, I turned out all right. I used to love it when they stopped me. Because I always had a track or someone with me. And the first thing I'd tell them policemen, and it was serious. And you have to remember, that's the time the troubles were here. Cars were blown up. I would say, here, boy, tell me this. What would happen if a bomb was under your car? And you were blown into eternity tonight. would you be ready to go? I can tell you one thing, the check, stop on Tom, stop quick. They would near miss me rather than stop me. One policeman, I wrote him a letter from the Crumlin Road jail. I met him a few years back. He still has the letter that I wrote him. And he's got saved. But he wasn't saved then. God can change a man. And you might think, I'm not having any effect on my children. I'm not having any effect on the meetings. That's what the devil wants you to believe. You know, someone could be preached and it mightn't be for everybody there. But somebody, it could be for somebody. And that could really touch somebody. There's a wee man preached for a fortnight in Mullafarnigan Gospel Hall. I was the only conversion that they knew of. I was the only one that made a decision. And them 2 weeks of meetings, and that wee man thought that wasn't a very successful meetings. Look at the wee man in Australia that gave out the wee tracts and stuff. He thought he was having no impact at all. He thought, here, I've did this all my life for God, nothing's happening. But there was more happening than he realized. Your testimony speaks louder than you think. You maybe sang a song, didn't think nothing of it, but it could affect somebody. I used to sing a song to the coal man, John Wallace, Gordon's brother. Gordon was a believer. Gordon sang and preached. But John wasn't. John had no interest in church. But I used to get in the lorry with John. He sent me in for fags or cigars he smoked. I said, I'm not going in for them. I wouldn't go into the shop for them. He said, why not? I says, because I have a testimony to keep. And I said, I wouldn't even handle that garbage. And I said, you want them? Take yourself in for them. And smoke your own brains out. But I'll not help you in doing it. And I offended him. And he smoked cigars and he chewed garlic. And he smelt just like a billy goat. That's what he smelt like. That's what you're going to smell like, chewing garlic and smoking cigars. And it come out in a sweat. But I'll tell you what. I tell him the Lord loved him. And spent his cigars. And his garlic out of Egypt as well. Now garlic might be good for you, but it's tough stuff. But I would always sing. I keep falling in love with him. Over and over again. And John Wallace got up one morning and his wife gave him a nudge and says, John, who is this fella you're falling in love with? What do you mean, he says? She says, you woke this morning singing that you keep falling in love with him. And he says, that big fella McKinstry's me brainwashed. But John Wallace tonight will be singing in a church because he's got saved. And John Wallace now spends his Sundays going round different assemblies singing the gospel. God saved him. Amen. Now it didn't happen right there and then, but the seed was sown. James McConnell said a powerful thing. I think it was maybe at Gary's house he said it. He said, when you sow a seed, God does the rest. God does it. If it's a genuine seed, God will do the rest when the seed's sown. This is a message to the fathers, Abraham 18 and 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he have spoken of him. I tell you, Abraham set an example to his family and to his children. And even Lot, Abraham was Lot's uncle. And Lot, Abraham interceded because of Lot. He had a righteous uncle, a prophet, actually. And he prayed. And God said, if there's 10, you know, he starts with 50 and it comes right down. If there's 10, and God said, if there's 10, I'll spare the city. But there wasn't even 10. And God said, if there's 10, but Abraham still kept that God, still interceded because he was a type of Jesus Christ. And God sent two angels down. And they took Lot by the hand and they brought him out. And his two daughters and his wife, now we know she turned back. But they were saved. And those Sodomites that wanted to know them men, they wanted to know them, and you know what that means. And God smote them men, them Sodomites, with blindness, so that they groped about in the darkness. And I tell you, my wife told me of a story just the other day, for two Sodomites adopted a wee boy. And they absolutely destroyed that wee boy. And our laws, what will our laws do about it? They'll give them maybe a couple of years and wrap them over the knuckles. The first place for it went wrong, as soon as two perverts appear before the justice or any system wanting to adopt a boy or a girl, they should not even be recognized straight away. Only a man and a woman should be fit to adopt any baby. Two Sodomites should never, in any God-fearing country or community, be allowed to adopt a child. Now I know if somebody gets this, it won't go down well, but it's not meant to. It's not meant to go down well. They're perverts. It's perversion. It's totally corruptible and unclean before God. And it's a sin that Paul says God gives them over to the reprobate mind to do those things which are unseemly when you read through Paul's writings. And they've done unspeakable things. And when that wee child went to hospital on so many occasions, it all slipped by every time. And yet a man can go in the streets in England and preach and be arrested. I tell you, that's a Satan's eat. Don't look for it. You're in it. And I said one week, and the fellas thought, maybe I was joking them, when I said that you'll have to maybe do jail if you're going to preach hard on the streets. And that's the truth. So you need to be prepared before you go. We're at the end time. As it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And God sent a ministry in the 20th century that revealed the very secrets of men's hearts. And homosexuality on the increase. And you know, when AIDS come in, that all the hierarchies tried to brainwash us to tell us that a monkey started AIDS. Now I want to tell you tonight, a scientist in a laboratory started it. That's how it started. And Barry Smith had all the details of it. And he told it all live many times. But nobody was listening because they didn't want to hear. We're living in Satan's Eden. Jesus Christ is coming again. And I'm going to have to close. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7 to 15. You could read it, but I won't read it for the sake of time. It's the man and the woman, the head of the house. God is saying that a woman is given long hair as a veiling, a covering, a reminder, and a picture of submission to her husband and father. And if she has long hair, it is a glory to her. But if a man of long hair, it's a shame to him. What about these modern Christianity music? It's not even music. They're trying to have rock gospel. I want you to know there's no such thing. It's absolutely a perversion of the real thing. And they wear their hats. They're all wearing hats. The Bible says a man is not to have his head covered when he's in the house of God. And the woman must grow her hair as a covering for her head when she's in the house of God. That's the Bible. We certainly believe the Bible and want the Bible, but that's a perversion today. I never forget it when I was in Reno, Nevada, and many folk, and Duane folk, they were running meetings, and somebody asked this young lad to give a bit of a testimony, and he got up there chewing gum and a hat on. And boy, if she didn't go up, she took the gum out of him and the hat off. And she said, if you're going to give a testimony,
yes,
you better have some reverence for this pulpit.
Yes.
And I tell you, she'd done the right thing. And I want to tell you, when that woman prayed for you, she never had to pray for you twice. God heard her the first time. She was a godly woman that could pray a prayer for you. But you see, the reverence is lost today. And I tell you, we as Christians in our homes, when we pray on our table, we need to keep doing it. We need to keep praying. We need to keep the home sanctified. And some of them don't want to take part too bad. If we're the head of the house, let them abide by it or fly the roost, whatever they want. But we need to keep that. Abraham had things he did. We need the things we did. The Bible gives us what to do. And we need to set the right example as fathers. Amen. I pray on this Father's Day that God will help every one of us. I hope that my children can see something in me. I know I've made many mistakes and failures. But I hope they can see something in me. But God's in. And I'm going to keep claiming them. And I don't care if they hang on the rafters. Mostly that's a good sign. The worse they get, the more you praise God for it. That's the devil kicking the heels up. Amen? Claim them. In the book of Acts it says that you and your house shall be saved. Let's believe for household salvation tonight. And may the Lord help us to live a life worthy of the gospel. And let me say to every parent in here, when you see the vermin coming, and you won't need binoculars to spot them, they're easy spotted. There's a spiritual aroma they give, if you're spiritual at all. Don't encourage it. Decourage it. Amen? Because they'll do a lot more harm than you think. I know many men, when I go back over their lives, men that did things that they shouldn't have did. But when you go back to their youth, when they were boys, somebody corrupted them. And many times you could go back to that spot where they were corrupted. Where they were learned things they should never have been learned. And knew things they should never have knew. May the Lord help us to point people to the Word of God and a godly life. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise God. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Praise God. Isn't God good? Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. If anyone wants prayer or needs prayer, lift your hand again to the Lord. And God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Lord, I pray you'll help every one of us to live a life worthy of the gospel. Help us to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Move in all of our children and all of our families. May you spur them and may you save them. May the token be upon each and every one of them in the name of Jesus Christ. May that Holy Spirit come upon them, convict them, and bring them to saving knowledge of the truth. We would desire household salvation, every one of us tonight. Every mother, every father, every husband, every wife, every niece, every nephew, every son and every daughter, we claim them under that token tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for every man in this room. You'll bless and strengthen and all the sisters as well. Bless every sister in this room tonight. And for every young man and every young woman in this room, bless them, strengthen them. Lord, give them an inbuilt discernment against the vermin of this world. Protect them, watch over them all the days of their life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I'm asking you tonight for a spirit of stickability. Put each and every one of us, Lord, that will not give in, but will fight against sin. With banner unfold, we'll tell the whole world that Jesus has conquered and died. Lord, we'll love you tonight because you first loved us. Bless us now, and bless our brother Gary as he comes, and bless all the musicians. We thank you for every one of them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. God bless each one.
When I was in primary school, we used to sing a wee song called Abba Father, Let Me Be Yours and Yours Alone. I don't know if anybody knows that, but we'll never get the words of it. It's a nice wee song, Abba Father, Let Me Be Yours and Yours Alone. I'm not just sure how the next bit goes. But anyway, we'll try to sing that hymn. We haven't got the words for it in overhead, but most of it knows there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. And the second verse is, Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, O for sinners slain. And the third verse is, when I stand in glory, I shall see his face, and there I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. So, there is Redeemer.
There is a
loves us, Lord. And we know, Lord, that you chasten those whom you love. And Lord, we just pray that you'll give every one of us, Lord, the desire and stickability to walk with you in the way in which you would show And help us not to be rebellious children, but help us, Lord, to honour you according to your word, to live in obedience to your word. And Lord, to put behind us the thoughts of this flesh, knowing that this flesh cannot please you, that it is at enmity with you. And Lord, help us to feed the spiritual man, the new man, daily, Lord, in prayer and supplications and the reading of your word and meditation of our heart upon you, O God. Lord, to suppress the old nature in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be pleasing to you. Lord, for when we consider all that you've done for us, Lord, we're so very glad. And when we consider the waste of time that the enemy offers to those that's in the world, Lord, it's tragic. And Lord, we want to say, Lord, that we're sorry, Lord, for every time we've failed you, Lord, and for any time, Lord, where we've made the wrong decisions and spent wasted time, wasted years. Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, it was such a waste, but we thank you, Lord, that you are a God of restoration. And we thank you, Lord, even at the time, Lord, when you told the parable of the workers coming in, Lord, for those that worked all through the day and to those that came in at the last hour. Lord, they all received the same wages. And Lord, we thank you that you're the great equalizer. And Lord, though a man may have wasted his life and lived in sin, Lord Jesus, there's still hope for him, Lord, and he can still receive eternal life. He can still receive the same standing and the same pardon, Lord, because the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that when we're saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb, that all our sins and iniquities, your word says, you will remember no more. And as far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that when we believe in you, you declare us to be righteous.
Yes.
And Lord, what a wonderful thing it is. Oh, Lord, we're so privileged to have your righteousness imputed to us. And Lord, the psalmist David said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And Lord, we're so glad that you've not imputed our sin to us, but you've imputed to us your righteousness.
Yes.
And Lord, should we live 100 lifetimes, 1,000 lifetimes, we could never attain unto that righteousness. But Lord, it's given. Lord, you give it to us. And Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we just want to bless your holy name. Bless the pastor, Lord, and continue to speak and minister to him. And Lord, save his children, we pray. And Lord, all of us that are fathers, Lord, help us to be an example. Lord, help us to walk uprightly before you and before men, that we live our lives worthy of the gospel. Help us to be example to our children. Help us to be examples to our spouses. Help us to be examples to our in-laws. And Lord, all those that's round about us, brothers and sisters and family members, help us to be light in a dark place in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray, Lord God, that they would even envy, Lord, knowing, Lord, the joy that we have that the world can't give. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll give us every soul that's precious to us in the name of Jesus Christ, that we, like Noah, would receive household salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those of our families that are saved, we pray you'll fill them with the Holy Ghost and with fire in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, that there'll be an anointing, Lord, fall upon our families in the name of Jesus Christ, for husbands and for wives, for sons and for daughters, for mothers and fathers, Lord, for song leaders and pastors, for deacons and elders, Lord Jesus Christ, that all would receive, Lord, the fire from heaven, that you'll anoint us afresh with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And Lord, help us to be your servants. And Lord, we ask all these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, undertake for each one as we go our separate ways in the lovely name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let us sing that little chorus as we leave. Come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy, real joy. Amen. Lord bless.